challenges, trials, whatever you call them, every single one of us has had to overcome something in our lives. Be that a physical disadvantage, a financial setback, a business complication, an emotional hurdle, or spiritual snag. Join Heather and her inspiring co-authors as she delves into the topic of overcoming the odds to create successful businesses, relationships, and lives. Now, here is your host, Heather Andrews.
Thank you for joining our show, everyone. Today, we are talking with Tracy Rickards, your Sassy Success Business Coach. And we're going to be discussing about business skills for new and struggling entrepreneurs while keeping it fun, because a lot of things in today just aren't fun or we're not doing it enough. So welcome to our show, Tracy. I'm so excited that you are here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how you came to be, we'll start with Sassy.
Oh, yeah, thanks for asking. Well, if you go and ask my parents, they'll say, well, it was just sort of inbred. I've kind of always just done things my own way and, you know, often feel like a fish just swimming upstream. And it's just been in my nature to try and do things just a little bit differently from the crowd.
Absolutely. And I love it. But you also had a different upbringing in that you were raised in small town and you never really constricted to the norm. Am I kind of correct on that? Because I remember a little bit about us talking a bit about your story.
Yes, absolutely. So I was raised in a very small town that was under 1,000 people at the time. I think it's under 300 now. But I was sort of like a fish out of water there too. You know, the country girl wasn't really my thing. I wanted books and libraries and learning. And out in the country there was, you know, rocks and sticks and rivers, which is awesome all by itself, but it just didn't provide what I needed, which is how I ended up in Calgary.
Right. And you've had quite the journey from, you know, from being an entrepreneur now, but that always was not the way. And I know you have a very interesting corporation story that led you into having where you are today. Can you give us just a little bit of background around that?
Yes, absolutely. That's part of the sassy part, I suppose. As a teenager, I found myself to be a young mom. And when I went back to high school, I didn't take the same strain as school as everyone else. I went more the business route and found myself just to be naturally good at those. And I went on into college taking business administration, accounting major. And from there on into certified general accounting. I ended up in Calgary working in corporate in an industrial role, ended up being a financial controller for, you know, quite a sizable organization. And I was at that same company for about 17 years. So all the collection of experience and education that I gathered over that whole course of time has led me to where I am now. But I think the crux of it really is that my personality didn't line up with traditional accounting, finance, you know, the sort of what's viewed as more stuffy kind of skill set. And it was not really fitting into that environment that led me to make the change.
Perfect. I love that. What does it feel like when you realize that you may not fit into the mold, when you talk about the stuffy rules and the accounting role? Like, you might have been really, really good with numbers, but then there was the culture that you may not have fit into. What does that feel like from an internal perspective?
Well, that was definitely a progression over time. And as I talk about in my book, one of the mental prisons that I kept myself in was in catering to other people and making myself or changing my personality to fit in with the environment around me. And as I got better and better at making myself into a chameleon and changing myself, the greater and greater I felt imprisoned. I felt unfulfilled. I felt stress. You know, at the end of my career, the stress was so bad, I'd wake up in the morning crying because I don't want to go to my job one more day. So it was definitely a progression over time. And it was, you know, my spirit talking to me.
Absolutely. And so often we don't listen to the spirit. And I love your messaging around the mental prison, because we don't realize in today's world how much of our world or how we get stuck and how we feel like we're trapped. And it's actually a little bit of ourself that might be keeping us trapped. And so I love the awareness that you bring to that mental prison. And in your book, I know you in Obstacles Equal Opportunity Volume 2 that you were part of a co-authored group doing, and it just launched, you talk a lot about that. And even like down to the Facebook Live when you said, I was in prison. And so what kind of prisons kind of came up for you as you were in that space?
Well, I think initially, we start off as clean slates. When we were little tiny babies, we come into the world with our genetic code, but it's not long before we start having programming of other people's values and expectations coming into us, right? You know, and, you know, very well-meaning, our parents, our teachers, and other influences want to mold us to be the best person that we can be. But often that comes against what later we find out is not even our own values. And so I think we learn as a culture and society to put ourselves aside and to behave a certain way that's expected and molded by our society. And, you know, we need some of that. We definitely do, because it would be a crazy world without
absolutely
rules and structure. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, where is that tipping point between rules and structure and a society that works and, you know, really losing ourselves?
And this revelation didn't come overnight. There was some personal development. There was some personal transformation that came over that span. And can you give us a little bit of what that journey looked like and how you've evolved?
Oh, absolutely. It's night and day, really. You know, I almost felt like I had a secret life. You know, there was who I was on the outside and who I was wanting to be on the inside. And I guess through my corporate journey, especially, I rose to the top quite quickly, mostly just resourcefulness and doing things differently. But the other thing was that I was the only girl on the all boys team. And, you know, in Calgary, you know, I'm sorry to say, it kind of still is that way. Although it's changing now, there's so much more awareness around it now. But in the boardrooms with, you know, kind of the old boys club, is not the place to be sparkly with purple hair and, you know, have fun. It just isn't. But my view of business is that, you know what, if we could actually enjoy what we do on a day-to-day basis, have our personalities shine through, have some fun, people would be going home as happier people. And the spinoff would be we would have happier families. And having happier families is going to have an impact into what's happening in the world today.
Absolutely. And I think when we move through those spaces and when we actually realize, and I think this is what I call the connection piece, when, and it sort of is how my own company was born, was when I was restructured out of my role, I had to pick a different path. It was stay in management, go back to frontline healthcare, or do something a little different. And I landed up going back into frontline healthcare work just until I found my path. And from all of that journey and transformational work and personal development, that's how I landed up with my publishing company and my podcast network and how we're sitting here today. But I think the biggest piece is that when it really came down to it, it was, you know, I could have blamed so much of my predicament on the external source, but I learned not to.
And I had to go and I had a different choice. And really, when I was in that pivotal moment of, do I stay or do I pivot? And fear was a big factor for that. And I think that that is a big thing, because it's like the fear of the unknown. Like, what happens if I leave this job and I can't find another one? Well, that's why you go out and apply and you take that step in a very cautious way, but it just takes one step. And for me, I was more scared to stay where I was than to take a leap or to take a jump or a small step and see what else there was out there. And by making that one pivot and connecting to learning that I couldn't rely on the external cues of the world, I had to go in to myself and really listen to what it was that I wanted. And when you talk about that, you know, you'd get up in the morning and you'd cry because you didn't want to go to work, or your stomach would be like, you know, like you kind of feel like you just got a bat in the stomach. Those are all intrinsic signs that we need to look. We need to choose maybe something a little different, or we need to engage in something that takes the edge off that, you know, that makes us happy. And when we talk about that shift and that mental prison, we can break out of the mental prison. And so often it is in that space of, you know, hiring a coach or going to a transformational weekend and having others show us that there is a way out.
Absolutely. And I remember at one point being asked by a team member, you know, just stay 12 more years, because that 12 more years would bring them to their retirement. Well, that 12 more years for me would have put me in my mid-50s. And so for me, that would have meant 20 more years. And so I had to weigh, do I want to live like this for 20 more years? And honestly, I just really didn't want to. But I'm also glad that you brought up the restructuring, because this is a passion point for me, is giving people choices and options. Now, what's happening right now in the landscape is people are being laid off still, even past over the last 3 years, 5 years, and it's not over yet. And so I am about giving people options. And so, you know, if you're in a job and unsure at all of what the future may be, why not get the business skills that you need now before you need them? And you know, do it in a fun way where you're not under the pressure, you're not under the stress, and you've got those tools in your back pocket.
And I know that when you moved through your own space, once you realized you had the awareness of the feelings that we just talked about, you actually have created something that can help people move out of that space. And so I just want to talk a lot about your 5-step breakthrough to freedom process, because this is really something that is hugely needed and it's so tangible. And I want to just, you talked a lot about awareness, but also if you can just take us through what that looked like, and that's how you help people move through those spaces.
Yes. Well, the 5-step process is the simplest model visually, but there's a lot of parts and pieces that do go into there that I teach in my course and in my workshops. And the first step is just what you said there, awareness. Because I don't know about you, but for many years, I sort of lived through this fog of going through the motions and not really, you know, having a deep understanding of what was happening to me. And it wasn't until I got the awareness that, oh, something's happening, that I could make a change. And so that's the first step of personal power, is awareness and waking up. You know, after that, you know, there's processes to go through. But next is really identifying patterns in your life of, you know, what here is recurring over and over that seems to come up. Unwanted results that keep reappearing. And once you can identify certain patterns of behavior or patterns of results that show up, that's again where you're in a power position to really make a change. And then as the 5-step process goes, you know, it's not enough just to identify a pattern and stop it. The universe does not like a vacuum. You've heard that before, right? So to stop a behavior, stop a habit, or to stop anything, we really need to consciously create something to put in that place. Otherwise, the time and energy will just be sucked up by something that's non-productive. So I've got processes and methods to lead you through how to create what it is that you want to create in your life.
I love it. I love it. And you come with so much certifications and like mindset and the personal power training and just, you know, the social media background and the content and just all of the things that really, and so do you do a little bit of customization with the person as well, based on where they're at in their life?
Absolutely. I have an online program, which is a series of, videos and things that you can do on your own, but also, you know, as a one-to-one client, we can work on whatever it is that you really need and tailor it to your needs. Because face it, no one else is exactly like you.
Nope. Absolutely. And I know for yourself and myself, we had to change our story, right? And it was just, when you get up in the morning and you have that gut-wrenching feeling about going to work and it might not even be work. It just might be something in your life that is gut-wrenching. And sometimes we feel that we have to stay in that space. But I feel sometimes when you say, no, I don't, you make the choice. And then, because the story that you're telling yourself is one that can be changed. And how did you move through the fear of changing?
Well, my corporate change was really only the most recent one. And so in recognizing the patterns in my own life, this is not the first prison that I had kept myself in. So when I really looked back, I have been in a prison of patterns of bad relationships, poor relationships, where I had also done the same thing. I had given too much of myself. I had changed too much of myself, and I had fit myself into a mold that just didn't really work for me anymore. And once I could step back and take a 30,000 foot view on what was happening in my life, I saw the pattern was not just with work. It was this personal thing that was happening in my personal life, my corporate life, and then had to evaluate, am I bringing those patterns forward into my life now? Because if I am, I'm just going to create the same result that I'm not wanting. And so with my programs, I look at people holistically. You know, it's not just about your job and getting, or, you know, your business getting more leads and getting more sales. Because getting more leads and getting more sales, when you have a pattern of, you know, getting lots of money and throwing lots of money away, it's not going to benefit you. It's not going to be of best service. So holistically, we want to look at you as a person, help you be the best person that you can be, and then start to add in there the business skills, the money skills, the marketing, the media on top of a very solid foundation.
Awesome. I love it. And what are the three, and I always know that this is always one of the favorite questions for our listeners, is if we've talked a lot about mental prison, awareness, tools, intuition, and all things staying stuck, moving forward, getting over fear, changing the story, what are the three top tips that you have that you can give our listeners as so that they can move through having more fun and increasing awareness and all of the things that you've kind of had to go through, but in order so that they can implement those as soon as they listen to this podcast, they can be like, I can do that today.
That is a beautiful question. And so the first thing I would say is awareness of your influences. Who's influencing your life, or what is influencing your life? We've heard before the term GIGO, if you're old enough, I guess, garbage in, garbage out. And so, you know, what are some of those influences in your life? What social media are you watching? Where are your news sources? Who are the people that you hang out with? And what types of ideas are you feeding your mind? That is one of the biggest things there, because there's so much negativity and so much almost programming that's going on now. It's hard to sort through it all. So evaluating influences would be the top one. The second awareness, I learned from one of my mentors named Blair Singer. And it's the model called be, do, have. And so typically how we look at things now is the reverse of that. What people look at, I'm going to, when I have the right stuff that I want to have, then I will be happy, right? When I have the right circumstances, when I have the right job, when I have the right amount of money in the bank account, then I will be happy. But really, my awareness is quite the opposite. My successes come from looking at, okay, who do I want to be? And once I be the person that I want to be, that's when I do the things that I'm going to do just naturally without thinking. And that's when I have the things in my life. They just show up naturally and they're joy and fulfillment to me based on changing my being, changing my awarenesses first. So that's the second piece that I would really look at. And the third one, well, there's so many. The third one, I would say emotions as traffic lights. We live in a world right now where emotions are seem to be going very extreme. They're way far out there, or they're being pushed down and quashed. And I think both of these are damaging. As emotions, really, I look at, they are just like traffic lights, right? They're not something to be avoided. All they are is, you know, red. We should stop and look at what's happening and make a change. Yellow, maybe proceed with caution. Do an evaluation before it turns red. And green, okay, so green is go. But even in a go state, though, you know, going 150 miles an hour can be damaging too. So even when we're in a state of a good emotion, we still need the awareness around what it's producing, what's happening in our lives. And those emotions are there for a reason. In today's the way things are today, with the way stress is, with the way depression is, with the way doctors medicate, I really feel like, you know, we're medicating or self-medicating emotions and not feeling really where something could be changed in our lives, where we could be empowering ourselves. You know, addictions are at an all-time high. And really, I think that the issue underneath is a spiritual one. We need to come back to putting into our lives what we find joyful, what we find beautiful, and really owning who we are. Yeah.
I love that. And it all kind of ties into, it all ties together. And I always said that if one thing was out of alignment, chances are there's other things out of alignment too. And so it might be if the job's out of alignment, the money's out of alignment, there might be something that, you know, your relationships with your friends or your family or your partner might be out of alignment. It's just like this ebb and flow. And that's what I find. One thing interconnects with the other.
Yes. And sometimes it can go into a downward spiral. And that's where, you know, paying attention to your emotions and your body and what's going on, they're warning signs just to have a look. And you can get that vortex going in the other direction, just with some awareness, identifying patterns, and finding out what it is that you really want out of life.
And I think the other one that just ties it up, and I'm just going to add number four tip takeaway is communication. And it's communication with self, A, the story, but B, when you talk about when there's an awareness there and you can get the vortex going in the other way, sometimes it's even having just a tough conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
And that I think has been, you know, and there's been tough conversations that have happened in my own life just around, I've changed, And when you change the dynamic of who you are, you have to teach the rest of the world that this is who you are.
Yes, absolutely. You know, in the five-step process, I talk about boundaries. So, what are boundaries? Boundaries are not walls. And boundaries are not being a doormat. There's something in between. And, you know, laying out your own expectations for what it is that you want, standing up for yourself.
Yeah, teaching. I think it was, we all needed to come with an operator's manual. I remember reading that in, I've heard it a couple of different places. Actually, there was a self-care book out about how to bring self-care into your life. And it was quite detailed. And she said, you know, you need to write your own owner's manual. And it also came out in a program with Precision Nutrition, and it's all about habits and things like that. I can't remember who the owner of it is, but who runs it, but it was about habit change and health and wellness and things like that. But he always said that you needed to come with an owner's manual or an operator's manual as well. And if you were embarking upon a new relationship, you know, you just handed them the owner's manual and said, this is how I like to be treated in the morning. This is how I like to be treated. This is how I like my eggs. This is how
I... That would be great, but just the revision would be a
There's not enough pages in the world for revisions.
Beautiful. That's hilarious.
Oh, it is funny. So anyway, but I just so appreciate everything that you bring to the world. And I just love your message. And I love the honesty and the integrity in which you present the, you know, just how you kind of just say, like, the mental prison. Because it is such, it's affecting the world today. And when you put it into that analogy, it's powerful. It really is. And I am just so honored that, you know, that you have been a part of our book. And I'm just so glad that I get to do life with you now. And build something. It's just awesome. So I thank you so much for just, you know, bringing all that you know to our podcast. And once again, where can people find you, Tracy, on social media?
I am all over social media, I'm happy to say. It's Tracy Rickards, Sassy Success on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Alignable. And my website is www.tracyrickards.com.
Awesome. I love it. And please reach out to Tracy. She is changing lives daily with her program and her mission and her message. So once again, I am just so grateful for you joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Perfect. And I thank you, our listeners, for joining. And once again, I'm Heather Andrews, helping you reach your stellar life. So till then, go out and have some fun, be sassy, find success, and reach out to Tracy. See you next time.
Now that Heather and her guest have shared a little bit about how they have overcome some of life's obstacles and how they went on to create success in their life despite these obstacles, you can read more by getting your own copy of Obstacles Equal Opportunities Volume 1 or Volume 2 by going to the Follow It Through Publishing website at www.followitthroughpublishing.com. Spelled FOLLOWITTHRUPUBLISHING.com. Have a story to share? If you are interested in becoming part of a book compilation, please contact Heather by going to www.followitthroughpublishing.com and clicking Contact. You will be amazed at what kind of story you can produce with the help from an incredible team. Thank you for listening. For more episodes, please visit the Tenacious Living Network at tlrstation.com.